Well, I want you all to know that you've been prayed for very heavily this afternoon. I know many of the staff have been praying over you. My entire church in Somerville, Georgia has been praying for you. They have a list of your names and have been praying for you. Let's bow our heads and begin with prayer tonight. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've invited us to be here with you on the Sabbath rest that you've created for us. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit into this room tonight. Father, there is a battle raging that we don't see with our eyes, but I know that you are fighting for the souls of these young men and women. And we ask, Lord, that you would work in a way that only you can work, and that you would bring us into harmony with you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world where if something's broken, we throw it away. And if we can't throw it away, we tend to patch things up and avoid the root issue. Right? My shoulder hurts, so I take Advil. And I take Advil. And I take Advil because it's cheaper and it's easier and it's not as difficult or painful than maybe that rotator cuff surgery that I might need, right? My car is acting kind of rough. I notice that there's a little puddle of oil underneath and the level is low. So I dump oil in and I dump oil in and I dump oil in instead of replacing the drain pan that has a strip plug because that's more expensive. I see somebody here who might have that problem. Right? It's fixed now. Good. Right? You could think of 100 examples. Something broken in the house, we paint over it. We don't get to the root of the issue very often because it's expensive, it's harder, we don't know how to do it, particularly when it comes to our relationships. It's a lot harder to get to the root of the issue in our relationships. We don't like to look down very deep because sometimes when we look in there, it hurts. And sometimes when we look in there, we don't like what we see. So we avoid that vulnerability. A good relationship takes something called intimacy. And intimacy involves vulnerability and being known, and taking a risk that you just might get hurt. And so if it's too scary, or the risk is too great, we don't do it. There's actually something called intimacy aversion. It's a real thing. And when relationships are too scary, people completely avoid intimacy. It destroys marriages. It is a total killer to relationship. A quote from a psychologist named Cal Heller, it says, "Intimacy is risky because it requires making such a serious commitment to the relationship that each person will experience a sense of dependency on the other. To admit that you need someone is to risk deep loss and hurt." So sometimes we keep God at a safe distance from us. Because a deep, intimate, vulnerable relationship with him can be very risky if we're not willing to trust him. Or if we don't know him for who he is, or we don't believe that God is who he says he is, we keep him at a safe distance. So there's this guy that you guys probably have heard of before. His name is David. You know this guy? Okay. He did something really horrible, right? He committed adultery with his neighbor's wife. And then to cover it up, he had his neighbor murdered. And he thought maybe no one would find out. It was a heinous crime. And the amount of shame and guilt that David carried was oppressive. David says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my moaning and groaning all day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture turned into the drought of summer. He was in physical pain because of this incredible shame for what he had done. And he thought maybe if he covered it up and he hid it, it would be okay because no one would find out. And so like David, we've got our defenses up. We see the risk of owning our sin and owning our shame, and we buckle down and we grit our teeth because we can't imagine just opening up and letting all that grossness out. This wickedness, this ugliness, this sin that we have done, we don't want to let it out. And like David, our souls are longing for refreshing from Jesus Christ, but we have this intimacy aversion from God. I don't know why we don't realize that God already knows all about this. For some reason, we think like if we just keep it all wrapped up and we're okay, that our relationship with God's going to be okay. We can like keep it from him if we stuff it down really hard. The reality is that God knows all about it already. Do you realize that opening your heart to God through confession does not change God's attitude toward you? I'm going to say that one more time. When you open your heart in confession to Jesus, it does not change his attitude toward you. We have this lie in our minds about God that he's upset up there. He's angry at us. And somehow if we would like tell him we're sorry enough, then he's not going to be mad anymore. That's not how God works. God's not mad at you, okay? God's not mad at you. He's not implacable. He doesn't need to be appeased. Jesus knows about it already. When we ask God to forgive us, it's not for his benefit. It's for ours, because what we carry will crush us. We don't need to change God's mind. Jesus knows all about who you are and what you're all about. He knew all about his disciples, didn't he? Right? He walks into the upper room and he sees these 12 guys sitting there, eyeing each other up to see who's going to be the one to wash the feet. They're proud. They're boastful. Peter is about to deny him. The rest are about to forsake him. And in fact, Judas is just about to betray him. And Judas sits there as Jesus comes and kneels and washes Judas's feet. Sometimes we forget that he was in that room. What was in Judas's heart was ugly, full of sin, betrayal. Jesus' love towards Judas was not changed by the sin in Judas's heart. And Jesus bore with him so long and was so merciful. He knelt and he washed their feet. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will find mercy." Amen. This isn't the truth because God will take some action to make sure you don't prosper. It's the truth because if you carry around a weight of shame and guilt your whole life long, you're going to feel horrible. And you're not going to prosper. That's why it's the truth. So David is being smothered to the point of physical illness by the weight of his sin. And he gets a knock on his door. And it happens to be the friendly neighborhood prophet. So Nathan walks in and begins to tell David this story. Once there were two men. One was rich. He had flocks and herds and a nice house. And the other man was poor. And he had one little lamb. It was like a pet to him and his children. One day a visitor comes to visit the rich man. And instead of taking from his own flock, the rich man says, "Man, I don't want to give up what I've got." He takes the poor man's one little lamb and fixes it for supper for the guest. David's reaction? What's David's reaction to the story? That man should be put to death, right? He deserves to die. Nathan says, "That's you, David." And so David's attitude changes. Listen to his words. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And thou forgave the iniquity of my sin." See, our iniquities have separated us from God. And we carry them around and we're afraid to give them to God for some reason. Like it's better if we hold it. Job says, when he's trying to figure out what he did, he says, "Look, if I covered my transgressions like Adam, if I held my iniquity in my bosom, like, have I done that? No. I've acknowledged all my sin to God." The heroes in Scripture that we look at, they learn this lesson, and sometimes in a heartbreaking way, that it's so much better to give that shame and that guilt and those secrets to God. Because you don't want to hold them. And they learn this experience called intimacy. David writes about it too. He says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant, his promises." As I was reading that, I thought, what does it mean? What is the secret of the Lord? You remember that big book I showed you? I looked up the word secret. The secret of the Lord, it means the intimacy of God is with them that fear him. Wow. So here's the real problem with intimacy aversion spiritually. You cannot be fully accepted until you're fully known. God accepts you, but you cannot experience full acceptance until you are fully known. What you hold, you can't give to God. And you cannot experience acceptance for what you hold back. Fear, shame, all the stuff we've talked about is rooted in this question. Am I acceptable? Isn't that what you want to know? Am I worthy of acceptance? Am I good enough? Would God really choose me? There's only one way to find out. You have to give everything to him. Will he accept you? What does Jesus say? Whoever, that includes every single one of you, whoever comes to me, there is no way I will cast them out. No way. A bruised reed? You ever seen like a cattail that's been bent over because the stalk is bruised? Jesus says, that bruised reed, I will not break it. If you can relate to that stalk that's been bent over and broke and bruised, Jesus says, I will not break it. I will not break you. And a smoldering wick, I won't snuff out. Jesus wants you how you are, all of you. He cannot deliver us from what we don't give him. Stop holding back. Give Jesus your sin tonight. There's some of you who have not chosen to give Jesus your sin. Maybe it's too scary. Maybe it's too private. And some of you haven't participated in what we're doing here. It's not too late. It's never too late. We're going to go ahead and finish what we started here. And Mr. Ashcraft, if you can start that for us. I'm going to go ahead and demonstrate what we're going to do. We're going to have one row at a time, and you're going to file out this door and come through, and you're going to pick up a cup, and you're going to follow my example here. And if you chose not to participate earlier today, But you feel like God has been talking to you as you sat in your classes and as you went to your meals and you walked around campus today and you've been saying, man, I wish that I had given my stuff to God. I wish I had put my sin here on the board. If you feel like you can't even write it, but you need to come up here and make some mark that represents yourself and your sin, if you're holding back from Jesus tonight, this is your invitation. Don't hold back from him. God wants you. He wants all of you. He will not reject you. He will accept you. So as you come through, you're going to pick up. You're going to pick up a cup. And we're going to... We can switch the lights. You're going to file through. And here's mine. Here's my sin that I told you guys today. And you're going to pick up a cup representing the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, God has not treated us according to our iniquities. And he has not counted our sins against us. And as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his mercy towards us. And as far as the east is from the west, so far have our sins been removed from us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we have trash cans right here. You can return to your seats after you're done. And so if that back row wants to start, come through. And as you sit here and you watch your classmates, I want you to think about Jesus on that night that he gave his life for you. As he knelt in the garden and he prayed for you. And great drops of blood as he sweat. Because God on this earth was experiencing something that had never happened. When Jesus prayed in the garden in John chapter 14, he prayed that we might be one as he and his Father were one. Do you know when God says one, like he is one with his Father? That's the same way that a husband and wife are one when they're intimate in a marriage relationship. That's the closeness that God wants us to have with him. Fully known, fully accepted. And Jesus Christ and God the Father were fully known, fully accepted from eternity past. And as he knelt there in the garden and began to feel the weight of our sins pressing down on him, just as Day and Savannah and Pastor Will sang about tonight, the Father's face was removed from Jesus Christ. And for the first time in forever, intimacy between God and his Son was broken. And Jesus wants to restore intimacy between humanity and divinity. And that's what he's calling you to tonight. If you're still on the fence about this, there are markers there, and it's not too late to give your sins to Jesus. If it's not even your turn, you can go through still. There's plenty of paint and plenty of markers. I don't want anybody to miss an opportunity.
Beside me for a while, I know your care, the burdens that you bear abide in my love, hide in my love, don't push me away, ashamed and afraid. I know who you are and I love you anyway, my child. So bring me all your wants and needs, I promise they can't burden me. Most desperate one can. Beside me for a while, I know your care, the burdens that you bear, abide in my love, hide in my love, don't push me away, ashamed and afraid. I know who you are and I love you anyway. So come to me just the way you are, though you've fallen hard and wandered far. Stop trying to be so brave, so strong. It's okay to cry, child, tears aren't wrong. So come, weary child, rest beside me for a while. I know you're just a while, weary child, in the mighty arms of God. Lay your head upon his chest, close your eyes, and simply rest. He knows all that you need. He has heard.
If our eyes could be open, if we could see, we would see a battle. God is fighting for you tonight. See, beyond the physical world that you and I live in and see and touch and breathe and feel, God's angels stand in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. We don't realize that we're in a war. This is a battle zone. Jesus is fighting for your heart tonight. I know you've been listening all week long. We've been trying to uncover these lies that Satan tells us about ourselves and tells us about our God and who we are and who he is and what he's trying to do and why we should be a part of his kingdom. And maybe for the first time in your life or the first time in a long time, you've seen a glimpse of God that you love. And maybe for the first time in your life, or the first time in a long time, you feel like God could love you. I know that there is somebody here tonight that has not given their heart to Jesus. There is somebody here that has been holding back. There is somebody that has had intimacy, aversion with God because he doesn't seem trustworthy and they don't seem acceptable. But if you've been listening at all, you know the truth about who God is. And you are accepted. You're not just acceptable, you're accepted. If Jesus is calling your heart for the first time in your life, or the first time in a very long time because you've wandered away and turned your back on God, I want you to stand. This is kind of scary because there's a lot of people around you and what somebody might think, but remember we talked about faith. Faith says, I'll do the crazy thing. I'll do the thing that doesn't make any sense. I'll do the thing that loses my reputation. I'll do the thing that loses my money, my job, my friends. faith is looking at Jesus. And if you're looking at him tonight for the very first time in your life, or you've wandered far from him, and you want to tell Jesus, all right, I give it to you. I'll trust you. I'll try this thing. I'll follow you. This is your time to stand. Stand for Jesus. Because he stood for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you've been walking with God, and you've been walking along, and you just feel like you're not as close to him as you want to be, and you like this glimpse of God that you've seen here for the first time, and you feel a little closer to him than you have before, and you want to say, God, I already believe in you, I already trust you, but I want you to draw me deeper, and I'm all in with you. You were all in for me on that cross. You were all in for me on Calvary. You were all in for me in the garden. When you had no guarantee that you would ever get to see the face of your Father again that you have looked on in its fullness for eternity. No guarantees. Jesus was all in. If you want to be all in for God, now's your time to stand up. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. Amen. Our Father in heaven, you see the young man and the young women that are standing because they've wandered far or they've never accepted you. You saw them rise to their feet. You saw the young men and the young women that want to be all in for you. They want that real intimate relationship with you like you have with your Father and you promised we could have. Thank you for being that incredible God. That would condescend in unbelievable humility to take our hands and our brokenness and say, you're my brother, you're my sister, and I'm not ashamed of you. And I accept you. And I can heal you. Everything you've said, you can do, God. And we know you to be trustworthy. We reject the lies of the enemy. And we thank you for being who you really are and revealing yourself to us in a real way through your word this week as we've opened it. And as your Holy Spirit has moved on the hearts of these young men and women. I look out and I see an army of youth preparing God for these last days to stand when the rest of the world will not. Thank you for hearing our prayer and accepting our cries for help. Go with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.